Worship is such a wonderful thing. It is to be experienced on a very personal level, a very private level. But it's wonderful when we can go there together. I don't know if you've ever gone with a group of people anywhere, but there's just communion that you have on the way to your destination. It makes the trip memorable. I'm sure this youth group has a lot of stories to tell of Mexico, but what makes the trip colorful is who you experience it with. It's very nice, very nice. And so it is with worship. We come into the presence of God. That's our destination. You certainly don't want to just get to church and miss His presence. My goodness, what a waste of time. But if you can get into the presence of God, oh my, that's wonderful. And what's nice about a good worship team, an anointed worship, is that it becomes like a vehicle. And you can get there faster and more people can come together. As opposed to going by foot, you know, it takes you a little longer. Just really helps. Everybody can get in and get there. And when you're in the presence of God, then you get what you need. Amen. It's like trying and feigning to shop before you get to the mall somewhere out on the highway. You got to get there. You got to get to the place where the stuff is. And so into His presence is where all the wonderful things are. And so it's our desire to get there. Amen. Praise God. Go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. I have about 5 different things on my heart, so we're going to do them all tonight. No, I'm kidding. Okay. But I do want you to believe the Lord with me, because it seems that it's not one or the other. It seems like there might just be a portion here and a portion there. It might be a potluck supper. Amen. God fixes it all so nicely, doesn't He? Praise the Lord. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now, this is a very interesting part of Scripture. Look in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? All right? Now, this is what men say. And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist. Is that right? Were they right? Were those folks right? Some, Elias, that is Elijah. Is that right? Others, Jeremiah. Was that right? Or one of the prophets. Were those right? No. Now, they were in the right category. They were at least in the religious figures category. They weren't like, you know, movie stars, or they weren't athletic people. At least they were like religious people. But it wasn't right. It was close, but it wasn't right. Because Jesus wasn't any of those people that men said that He was. Okay? Now let's go on. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that the right answer? Now, this is why it was the right answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. In other words, this isn't even just your answer, Peter. You didn't get this. Just yourself. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but what? But my Father, which is in heaven. So God gives correct definitions about Jesus here. He defined Jesus correctly. All right? Now, verse 18, And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church against it. So, the first thing that happens here is Peter, by the revelation of God the Father, correctly identified Jesus. And then the verse of scripture that we just read, Jesus correctly identifies Peter. Let me do that again. Jesus was correctly identified by Peter with the help of God. And as soon as he did that, as soon as he correctly identified Jesus, then Jesus correctly identified Peter. And the reason we know this is because this word Peter isn't the same word that he was identified with before, which was a little stone or like a pebble, like the kind that get in your shoe. This word that Jesus identified Peter was a stone or a rock, a big rock, like a rock of Gibraltar type of a rock. Before Jesus identified him in this verse, he was little pebble, irritating person. When Jesus identified him, he identified him as a rock. Maybe Jesus just didn't know what was going to happen in just a few days. Maybe he got confused. Maybe he was at a word of knowledge, but he got the names wrong. How many of you know Jesus doesn't get the wrong definitions with the wrong people? Now, there was nothing stonely about Peter. He kept on being irritating, even after this. We're going to look at another. He kept on being little pebble-ish. He denied that he even knew Jesus to a young girl. He just couldn't hold up. Jesus never changed his opinion about his identification. Why? Because that was God the Father's identification of Jesus. I don't know if you were here this morning, but if you were, you remember that whatever Jesus said was what was revealed to him by the Father. Amen. So we could say it this way. Peter got his definition of Jesus from God the Father, and Jesus got his definition of Peter from God the Father. Who's doing all the defining here? God the Father. And only with his definitions are they correct. Amen. God will nail you. He does it exactly. And he is not put off by false appearances. And his definitions are good. That's what's so nice. So now let's look at this. In first, seeing Jesus, Peter was able to find himself. If you want to find any definition about yourself, your life, of what to do, you go to him first. You don't examine you. You examine him. And in him, you find you. Isn't that interesting? And he's the only one you can do that with. You will not find your identification in any other human being. You say, well, I'm just like my parents or whatever. No, there will be something different. There'll be something different. You say, well, I'm not like him. Yeah, but you know what Romans, the 8th chapter, says that you were predestined to look just like him. So he's safe to look at. In looking exactly like him, we look the least like each other. And it's okay. And you're okay with it. I don't know what it is about humans. We like a lot of company. And we, you know, we'll like to blend and as hair does different things, we all go with the hair. I was looking at my wedding picture. Yeah, it was in 1989. It was in the big hair days. Do you know what they did to my hair to make it appear even larger than it was? And it was already large. But they, because I had a huge veil in the back, they divided my hair in the back and brought it all up here. And looking at this hugeness, you look at it approvingly in the mirror. You go, yeah, huge. Do you know what we would do if we saw that kind of explosion on your head in these days? It's offensive. You just think, tame it, you know. But you watch. When it comes back, everyone will woof again. We just blend. We're just seeking blending deal. Be like one another. Act like one another. Talk like one another. Respond like one another. But the deal is you never are you by being everyone else. So I think everyone should just seek to be the strangest person that you could possibly know. That's not it either. Do you see that we're not on a passion or on a mission to be the same, or we're not a passion and a mission to be different? What you want to do is see Him, and in Him you see you. The Scripture says that your life is hid with Christ in God. When you find Him, you locate yourself. When you get a true mark on Him, He gives you then a true mark on you. In that order, you don't find you until you find Him. Isn't that beautiful? When we were singing that last song, I was remembering something that had happened. It was a very difficult thing that had happened, and I cried all night. Has anyone ever cried all night? You should try it sometime. Tears in your ears. And you turn over and dump that load out on the... Your pillow's wet, you turn it over. Okay, so I did this. I'd cried all night long, and finally had kind of gone to sleep and woke up again, and I was still feeling awful. And the Lord... Everyone say, the Lord.
The Lord
spoke in my heart when He was catching me between. So I hadn't worked up a sob anymore. I was quiet. And in this little place, this little parenthesis of time and quietness, He said, do you want me to tell you what to do? But it was almost like, you know, when He asked the blind men what they wanted. What do you want? What is it that you think I might want? So He asked me, he said, do you want to know what to do? I said, yes, I do. He said, then you commit to my answer. You commit to me. You commit to my answer. And I'll tell you what it is. A lot of times you want to know what it is, and then you'll go, yeah, I see. God will never let His answer be multiple choice. You commit to Him, and the answer's in Him. Yes. And it's so wonderful when you get God's answer to a thing, then you get God on the thing. Because He and His answer are one. He's committed to His own answer. He comes with His answer. Isn't that the coolest thing? But it's not that He comes with His answer. It's really that the answer comes with Him. And so when you get Him, you get the answer that comes with Him. It's beautiful. So I got out of bed. I said, yeah, I actually laid down on the floor as flat as I could lay. I said, I commit to you. I don't know what it is you're going to tell me, but I am committed to you. And while I was laying on the floor, He told me what to do. And I was glad that He had the commitment up front. But I did what He told me to do. And I got what He told me I'd get from the answer. It just works that way. And already, I was remembered just in this song. This has nothing to do with, see, this is one of the things on the table, okay? But now let's go on. But somebody needed to hear that. So that's why I wanted to give that example. Because there are some answers you've been going, is it A, B, C, D, or E? Doing your pros and cons with A, B, C, or D. Should I do this, 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 or this? And you know what? It's not A, B, C, or D. There you go. Answer in your own head. You're going to find the answer in Him. But you're going to commit to Him. And I'm telling you, when you do, The answer will be in the endearment that you have in embracing him. You embrace your answer. Okay, here we go. Now, let's look on. Go down to verse 21. Are you with me? From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. What is Jesus describing here? Well, he's describing actually the work of redemption. His 3 years of ministry, which were impeccable and absolutely indescribable. They were glorious, wonderful years, popular years. Were only a platform for the main show. They were only a pre-show to the work of redemption. And Jesus is describing this. His disciples all know him as a great minister, very famous. If he'd be in this day, he'd be the biggest guy on television. Everybody would know Jesus, not just in the church world, but even in the political world. Everybody would know Jesus. He was very popular. And he didn't abuse his popularity. He was genuinely good. So when Jesus starts talking about this, you know, being all of this horrible thing that's going to happen, it was like it was messing up the picture for his disciples. But what Jesus is describing here is the will of God. Yes, Isaiah 61 is true. That he was, you know, that he is anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Anointed to open the eyes and bring deliverance to the captives and all these wonderful. Yes, that prophecy is very true of Jesus. And he did that and they'd seen that. And he had opened the book and found that place and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But now he's talking about another thing that is to be fulfilled in their ears. And that's Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. He starts describing this. And they couldn't get this. They couldn't get it. So now watch what Peter does here. He says, took him and began to rebuke him. Remember, this is Peter, the rock. He began to rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. What's he saying should not be unto thee? The plan of redemption, the work of redemption should not be unto thee. Don't do it. Aren't you glad Peter didn't get his way? Don't go to the cross. Let everyone go to hell. That's what he's saying here. Now, God bless Jesus here. And look at this next phrase. He turned around and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Not get thee behind me, you lying devil. This isn't even a little devil. This isn't even a principality. This is the top man is using Peter's voice. Just a few verses early, God is borrowing his voice. Now somebody else has the microphone. Now I just think it's interesting that on some things we can have a revelation from God and on other things completely be off. Now listen. Who was Peter? Was Peter just one of the multitude? No, he wasn't just one of the multitude. Was he one of the 70? No, he wasn't just one of the 70. Was he just one of the 12? He was more than just one of the 12. He was one of the three top guys. Whenever Jesus wanted to go anywhere with a small group, Peter was always in the group. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the one that got to see Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah, on the mountain with Jesus in that place, it's Peter. Who got to go in and see Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead? Peter. He's one of the main, he was his assistant, one of his assistants. Yikes. And he got it so wrong. Just because we're in the family, now that we're born again, doesn't mean that all of our thinking is completely just crystal clear. I'm born again. You know, I go to this Great Word Church, and now everything I think is exactly right. It's the way it is. Maybe not. You could be exactly right about some things and then demonized on something else. You know, it seems funny, but actually Jesus addressed him as Satan here. Now, this next phrase is absolutely the worst. This is the worst. Thou art an offense to me. Now, what all of us want to hear is something, you know, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, or well done, thou good and faithful servant, or something like that. Wouldn't you want that kind of report card from God? This is, you are an offense to me. Other translations say it this way, you are a hindrance to me. One says, you are a stumbling block to me. That's horrible that Peter would be in the way of, that Jesus wants to go a direction and Peter's blocking him from going. That there's something God wants to do and Jesus is going to have to get around him to do it. I never would want to be a stumbling block to God. You want to be flowing along with what God is going to do. You don't want that God has to go around you and that you're a project that God has to get around. One of the mountains that need to be removed and cast into the sea. Now, that'd be horrible. He said, you're a hindrance to me. But listen to why. Why? Why would a person be a hindrance to the will of God? Why would somebody be a stumbling block? And remember, who is Peter? Is he Herod or Pontius Pilate or some, you know, the ruler of the Roman Empire that was so horrible and oppressive in that day? No. He's one of the top guys. So a lot of times we say, you know, those bad people out there, can we ever have thinking that can limit or hinder or be a stumbling block? Yeah. If God wants to do something maybe in somebody's life, can we ever get in the way? Yeah, but we don't mean to. You know that Peter didn't mean to. I ache for him for having heard these words from the Lord. That had to have hurt. Especially after he was all puffed up like this from what Jesus had just said. But now look at what he says here. This is the reason why. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now listen to some other translations of this, because this is so good. The Amplified says it this way. He said, you're in my way. An offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. Why? Because you're minding what partakes of the nature and quality. You're not partaking of what partakes of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Listen to this one. You're a hindrance to me because you think like everyone else. Is that strong or what? Because you think like everyone else and not like God. Listen to this one. You're a hindrance to me because the thoughts you have, the thoughts of yours, don't come from God. They come from men. Now listen to this. This last one. You're a hindrance to me. Why? Because you're not thinking the way God thinks, but the way humans think. The way humans think. You say, well, we are human. Listen, if we didn't have access to the thoughts of God, then we'd be all trapped. That would be unfair for Jesus to say, you're thinking like a human. Well, I am one. The thing about it is that he has made his thoughts available to us. We do have access to the thoughts of God. We do have the ability to be able to get a hold of the thoughts of God, to exchange our thoughts for his thoughts. We don't have to be bound by our thoughts. And I do say bound by our thoughts. God's thoughts, because they're truth, are liberating. Man's thoughts, though they may be in the ballpark of being right, like remember the definition of Jesus, at least it was in the ballpark of religious people. But it wasn't right. It wasn't right. Now let's go back to the definition that we have of ourselves or of other people. It can be a hindrance when you're thinking of yourself the way that man thinks, the way that you would just think of yourself, the way that other people reflect you to yourself. It's a hindrance to what God wants to do in your life. You have to know what God thinks about you and God's definition of you. So then we'll back up one more time. To find God's definition of you, you have to see it in him. Now let's look again then, and just go back in your thinking with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature, new creation. He is a new species of being. Another translation says he is a new being. He is a new person. The trick is, in your mind, is when you see yourself in the mirror, you're not. It's the same, you know, it's the same skin. It's just all the motor's been changed. You got the same frame, but you've been overhauled. Got a new motor. Everything under the hood is different. Amen? So that can be the trick. You'll judge yourself by the way men think, or even the way you think. And we're just going to talk about ourselves right now. That can be then transposed to other people. I remember this when I was when I had my first child. I was 34. I didn't even think I was going to have a child, any children. And so this little person came. I hadn't even babysat much. And 3 months after I had her, we moved to Sicily. So, you know, I didn't have anyone. Everyone there spoke a different language. And we lived out, way out in the country. No one even that spoke a different language was around. It was just me and my child. I made a covenant with her. Don't tell anybody anything. I'm doing my best. I testify that I am. But I had this book about what children are to do and what you're to do with children at different ages. And I just followed the book. It was really pitiful. And I loved the Lord, you know, for helping me just as a... Everything was new. It's a different country, different food, which was the best part of it all. But different language, different people, different schedule. I was a mother. It was everything was different. The only thing that wasn't different was him. It was just him. I loved him for being the same. In all the seasons of life, he's the one thing that never changes. Isn't that wonderful? So, but I remember, you know, and I had this baby book, and I was really good to fill it out. I didn't have much else to do in the days. And I wrote epics about my children at every, or my child at every season. And, you know, there's these stickers that you're to say, and you're to write down the day that they find their hands, when they find their feet. And eat their feet, and when they do the first thing with the spoon. Remember all that? But everything stands out, I think, particularly with my first child, because I didn't have any other thing around me much. And it was huge to me. And I remember in the book, you know, it said that they'll recognize first the mother's voice. And then they recognize, you know, the father's voice. They recognize his voices that they've heard a lot during the time of even that you were carrying them. So interesting. Before my child ever knew herself, before she ever recognized even her own hands, she recognized me. It's the sweetest thing to me. Her eyes would follow me in the room, and she knew nothing about herself. She only recognized basic desires that she might have, like hunger or danger. That was the only thing that she knew of herself. But it was still only related to me. It's a fascinating thing. You know, when you're born again, before you can ever know really about you, you have to know Him. Because everything revolves, your identity revolves around Him. He's the one that gives you who you are. So, and then it went on from there. After, you know, she knew Tony and I, she recognized our voice and responded to us and, you know, just being happy to hear us or reaching up or whatever or kicking, you know. Isn't that a nice thing? Wouldn't that be something if your children, when you came into the room when they're 14 years old, they go like this? You're just at sight of you. They just so happy. Something happened. But anyway. Then I remember holding her up to a mirror. And I said, "That's Lily. That's Lily." And she was going, I thought, "She don't got it." I was so disappointed that I set her outside and wouldn't have anything to do with her for 3 days. No. You don't think you have a defective child if just they don't recognize their own face in the mirror the first time you hold it up to them? Or the second time you hold it up to them? Or the third or the fourth or the... You know what you do as a parent? You just keep holding them up to the mirror. That's Lily. And take her little hand and say, "That's Lily. See, that's Lily. That's Lily." She was happy enough. It was another person. It's another person looking back at her. But I still remember. I still remember the day that she had a revelation that who she was looking at was her. You can never bring back those moments. Because it's only the first revelation that they have of themselves. It's the sweetest thing. She saw herself. And it was her. I wish I could have taken a picture of that very, that just a sweet, sweet moment. Now she camps out in front of the mirror. Did you say you had a Kleenex? So, anyway, thank you. So, you just keep holding it up. You just keep holding it up till they get it. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we steadfastly, looking as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are what? We're changed. The book that you're sitting on, or that you're not sitting on, that's laying on your lap, that's sitting on your lap, is a mirror. It doesn't show who you are by your first birth, shows who you are by your second birth. Your pastor, when you come here, holds up the mirror and says, "This is you. This is you." And you go, Sometimes we even get really happy with the truth. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's somebody else. That's somebody else. That's our pastor. But honestly, it is a classic moment sometime when you see in people's face when they get it. Oh my God, that's me. Because until it's you, it doesn't change you. So what are your pastors, the spiritual leaders in this church, even in children's church, youth, they just keep holding up the mirror. 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 Just keep holding it up. This is you. This is you. Oh, it can't be. You don't know my past. I'm not talking about your past. This is you. I'm not talking about anything about your first birth. I'm not talking about anything that's under. I'm talking about your heart. This is you. By that book, you can see what's on the inside. And you don't have eyes to see what's on the inside, except for by the Holy Ghost, by the revelation of the Father God, and His light on that Word. It's like there was before there was an X-ray machine. How were humans to know what was inside of people? They developed this machine that gave us a picture of the way things look on the inside. And the truth is that way. And it's really, really important to come together. It is really important to come and look into the mirror where the mirror under the anointing of the Holy Ghost is magnified. Now, guys might not be into magnification very much where mirrors are concerned. It's a necessity where girls are. When you're doing serious facial work, you need it to be magnified and lit. But really, the anointing, and we sang a song about His Word is a lamp, and it is. It lights things up. And you see very clearly who you are. Very, very clearly who you are. Amen. My little girl took the mirror out of my purse. She got this sparkly stuff for her cheeks. And she, on the way to a service sometime, she wanted to see what it was that she was putting on that I was going to wipe off when we got there. So she's 8. And so she wanted to see my mirror. Now, I've had that mirror for years, which is miraculous in itself. I never lost that mirror. It was battered. It looked ugly, but I had it. I knew it was always there for me. And then that day in the van, my daughter stole that mirror. So then the next time we were going to a service, and a lot of times lipstick is the last thing that you think of, and so it's a car thing. Not all the time, but most of the time. It's a car thing that happens. Does anybody put their lipstick on in the car? So, and I'm so glad I didn't see any guys raise their hand, Pastor. So anyway, praise the Lord. So, we're on our way to church, and I get in my purse to get my mirror. It's not there. So I had to put it on by memory. Because I was in the back seat, you know. I had to put it on by memory. So I get it up there. And I ask my children, how am I doing? Am I staying in the lines? Because it was pretty a dark lipstick. I said, how am I doing? Am I staying in the line? Oh, yeah, Mama. Oh, yeah. I believed them. And I went to the service, talked confidently to people. And after the service, I looked in the mirror. I thought, oh, the whole time, just. James James tells us the same thing concerning the word where mirror is concerned. He said, when you look steadfastly into it and then you leave it, you forget what manner of man you are. What's he talking about? He's not talking about your mirror in the bathroom on the sun visor. He's talking about the word. When you leave it, you forget what manner of man you are. When you go away from Sunday, if you're only seeing yourself on Sunday morning, you're looking pretty strange throughout the week. You're just trying to go by memory? Just trying to go by memory? Checking to see from other people's response, how am I doing? How am I doing? Doing pretty good? Telling you what, you could be looking pretty strange by the time you make it to Sunday morning. Does this make sense? Thank God for magnifying mirror, lit mirror on Sunday morning, where the anointing is intense. You see things clear under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you need to have several mirrors. It needs to be like a daily deal. Amen. Finding out who you are. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's our consultant about who we are. He tutors us about who we are. Amen. Amen. So looking into this mirror, then, we are changed. I made a statement this morning about before Jesus came into your heart. It took a long time. He was all the time up to that moment he was trying to get in. Now he's trying to get out. What the mirror process does is bring what's on the inside out. It brings who you are by your second birth out. Because that can be a hidden identity all your life. It can be something that's put under a bushel, a light that's kept under wraps, an identity where you're incognito, you're not really who you are. What are you? You're wrapped in your first birth. You need the flesh that you got in your first birth. You need that a body was provided for you. But your body now is to be an instrument of what's on the inside instead of reflecting and responding to what's on the outside. Does this make sense? But for you to even know what's on the inside, there are these two wonderful components, the truth and the spirit of truth. The truth and the spirit of truth. You have to have them both. The Holy Spirit, who revealed the true identity of Jesus and then gave the true identity of Peter, is still giving us our identity. There are some things that are true across the board of everybody that's born again, and it's written there in the Word of God. There are things particular to you, that the Holy Spirit will help you to see. While we were worshiping here just a little bit ago, I keep getting in my heart, and this just kept rising up in my heart, that there is going to be, as we keep coming more and more towards the end, there's going to be greater expressions, a wider variety of expressions of the ability of God, of the will of God being played out in people's life. Amen. There's going to be such a variety. And you know what? It's beautiful. It's to be celebrated. It's not to be, oh, but it's different. No, it's good. Yes. And as many, its weight of being mostly in the church, it will begin transferring mostly the weight of it happening mostly outside of the church. Where the bulk of ministry is done only by fivefold ministers, it will begin that the bulk of the work of the ministry is done by the people. And the fivefold ministry is training the bulk of the people to know what to do. Now, how that plays out, because it doesn't play out on a platform. You see what ministers do, but how do you see what you are supposed to do? You know what pastors are supposed to do when they come up and when they speak and when they do. But how is it that plays out where you work or where you do whatever it is that God wants you to do? How is that to play out? Because where most of our work is not in this room. Most of the sick people aren't in here. Most of the sick people are out there. Most of the messed up people aren't in here. Most of them are out there. Most of the people that need to be born again aren't in here. Most of them are out there. Are you okay with this? So it's not a revelation of just more doctrine. It's a wonderful thing. When you come here, you get a revelation of who God is. And you know what you get? You get a revelation of who you are. And you know what happens when you start knowing who you are? You start acting like who you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. First, it's a revelation of God. And a continual revelation of God. But then, it's also a revelation of you. Praise God. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter what anyone else then reflects. It doesn't matter what anyone says about you. It doesn't matter what people said you were like. They're like this, they do this. If you've ever heard God Almighty, your Creator, say who you are, then that's who you are. Amen. In the same way that we have been familiar, very familiar, with who we are after our first birth. Lily, I remember teaching her name. Poor thing. Liliana Michelle Caminetti. If you said that really fast, you could almost start praying in other tongues. And I kept the paper still of when I taught her how to write her name. It's a sweet thing. And then when they write it in cursive. Different things that they claim as their identity. They're able to say where they live. When they come to an age where they can actually say their address. Who trains them along these lines? Well, their caregivers, parents are supposed to, people that are older than them, maybe even brothers or sisters, and then you get teachers to do the same. Well, we think that a child that is not afforded an education to be able to navigate in this natural world is an abused child. Every child is entitled to an education to be able to function in this world. But you know what? Every person born again is also entitled to an education to know who they are in Christ.
Amen.
So they can not only function in this world, but also in the world to come.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is a lot bigger than this one. Praise God. We have to know who we are. And then claim who you are. Claim it. Respond to it. You know, last night Kathy came to get me at the airport, and she pulled up in her vehicle, and she was looking at me, and I was looking at her, but I couldn't see very well through the windshield, and it was a little at a distance. And so then she was doing this, and I thought, I wonder if that's me. Because have you ever done this and it wasn't you? It was for like somebody behind you? It's embarrassing, you know. You. So when she was doing this, then finally I went, is that me? Is that me? I want to just encourage us, because this is a place where revelation does flow about God, but also about you. Allow the Holy Spirit to just continue to give light, even in areas that you think you got it. Even if you know basically what it is. It's like Lily when I first showed her. She was familiar with that little girl in the mirror. She just didn't know it was her. How do you know if you have a truth? If you got it, it changes you. Truth is the only thing that has the ability to change you, to make it look like you. It's an incredible thing. You start matching what you see. And we just submit then to it, again to the truth. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And this is a classroom where he teaches about God and he teaches about us and our relationship to God. What God is, who God is, what God has, and what God can do. Based upon that, it is who we are, what we have, and what we can do. You know, being able to do what it is that we can do in Christ isn't hard at all. Or what we are to have in Christ isn't a difficult thing at all when you know who you are. Because it just comes with who you are. The power, the blessings, the provision, it just comes with being a child of God. It's not you just being a Christian and trying to get these things. These blessings. No, you're born into it.
That's right, amen.
It's being born into a family of privilege and becoming aware of what you've grown up in. It's a real blessing. And there are children of God who never, ever have claimed their identity. They know well themselves after the flesh. They know well themselves by their first birth. They know well the works of their flesh. They know less well who they are after their heart. But when you know who you are, then within who you are is what you're to do. And this is what was in my heart tonight. Because there's so much light here about who God is and who you are. As you continue in this, I just see that this is a greenhouse for growing some very unique expressions of God. And when people do the will of God, when you do the will of God, when you do what it is that you see God wanting you to do, it may be very different. It may be different than a lot of other examples that you see. But are we okay with that? I believe God's going to do some different things with the youth. I believe that God's going to do some different things with couples, with people in business. I believe that God's going to do and be able to express himself in some wonderful ways through families. You say, well, what is it? Rather than working so hard on what it is, just know who you are, see yourself in him, and he defines what you do.
Amen.
Amen. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. Then after he told him who he was, he said, and on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I've looked in all kind of commentaries, and a lot of people say a lot of different things. And I probably agree a little bit with everybody. There's an element of truth in everything. I think one thing is this. Jesus said this. On this rock. On what rock? What could be Peter? It could, you know, he's one of the leaders of the early church. And he was very, very strong as a leader in the church of Jerusalem. But on this rock, what rock is that? The rock of God's revelation of, number one, Jesus, and then God's revelation of Peter. On this rock will I build my church. With God revealing to people himself, and then God revealing to him, not just him, but you. Why? Because we're the church. Solid building when you're not being who you're not, but when you're being who you are. He can build on that. He can't build on who you're not or who you were or who you're trying to be. It's who you are. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember seeing somebody with a ministry that I really, really respected. And I'm talking about ministry, and I realize not everyone's in the ministry in the classical sense like this in church. But I saw her, and I saw the anointing of God on her and how it played out in her life, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. That's it. And there was something, you know, that called to my heart. Why? Because I did have a call on my life, and I did want to minister, and there were some similarities. So I set out to be her. The only thing is that she just is liquid flow. And just fluid. That's the word I get, just fluid. And she always just said the right thing and acted so perfectly and just was beautiful how she operated in the Spirit. And I thought, that's me. And then I was on the platform trying to flow. We were on, you know, one of those, in a church where the platform was round. It was kind of in the round. Everybody was around. And they ran the cords up through the platform, under the platform, through holes. And this was in the little heel days, this long and narrow heel, or little heels. And I was leading songs in those days, with Brother Hagen on the road. And I came behind. Honestly, it was the awfulest thing. While I was flowing, and both of my heels found one of those holes. And I plunged into those holes. And I couldn't get out. I could not free myself. And two ushers had to come, one on one side and one on the other, and lift me out of those holes. It dashed my hopes and dreams of ever being this woman that I so admired and do still admire in the Lord. And then I would come back to my office and find that the whole time that I taught all morning, I had one large earring. You remember those days. Or lipstick on this too. I just thought, I can't be her. Have you ever wearied yourself trying to be like someone? That good Christian over there, I just want to be like, you know what? You weren't called to be your brother or your sister. You're called to be who you are. You say, but I don't know what that is. And you never will by looking at yourself in the natural mirror, by looking at your past and what you've done. What you are is not an accumulation of anything in your past. What you are is hidden in Him. And you know what? The more you know about Him, the more you know about you. He defines you. So I'm going to end with this. I was praising Him one time. I told you this morning I was worshiping Him as Savior. Well, this day I was worshiping His faithfulness, worshiping that particular characteristic. And I was by myself. I wasn't. I was in a meeting, actually, with this lovely woman. But now I wasn't trying to be her anymore, and I was worshiping the Lord. And I had my hands up to Him, and I said, Lord, I worship Your faithfulness. I lift my hands to Your faithfulness. I worship that You never change, that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You're faithful to Your word. So I was worshiping all these different things about His faithfulness. And He said this. He said, yes, lift your hands to My faithfulness. He said, but that faithfulness that is in Me is what I have given to you. The very faithfulness that defines My being, you as a child. You're My child. I have given you My nature. A lot of times you can see His faithfulness in Him, but that doesn't help Him on the earth at all until those nature qualities are in His own Son. It ought not to be that you don't look like Him. We sing lots and lots of songs about there's no one like him. And one day when I was hearing it, it wasn't a happy thing to me. I thought, what a pity that no one looks like him. There, what is it? There is none like you. None like you. There will never be anyone like you. Now, isn't that a shame? The whole work of redemption was to bring everybody into the family of God, let God be everyone's father, have everybody be like Jesus, and we sing whole song that no one looks like him. And I know in the sense, you know, no one is like Jesus. But isn't it a shame?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be terrible if we carry the marks of the father that we had by our first birth? We'd have tendencies like the devil. Character features, qualities like the devil. Mean, unforgiving, hard, furious, nagging. No, he's not my father anymore. I have a new father. How about you? And you are like him. Oh, I can't say that. Start saying it. Claim who you are. He's claimed you. Claim yourself in him. Oh, I'm faithful. I can't say I've... You better start saying you're faithful or you'll keep acting unfaithful. Amen? Oh, I can't say that I'm... Yes, you can. And it could be true. He's given you his nature. Amen? So I want you to say this. God's my father. I'm his very own child.
He gave to me his love.
His nature.
And his ability.
I'm destined to look just like him.
Like father.
Like son. I'm a son of God. I'm a child.
He's my father.
I look just like him.
The more I find out about him,
the more I find out about myself.
The more good I see in him,
I see him in me.
Can you deal with that?
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you what, let's do. Let's stand up. God forgive us for not claiming ourselves, our different portions of ourselves. We're going to do it. And he's helping us to do it. He needs us to do it so that we can then express him in the earth. Praise the name of the Lord. I want us to, a particular strength that he has that you admire, a particular quality is his faithfulness, his truthfulness, his forgiving, his mercy, his steadfastness, whatever quality it is that he has, his kindness. We sang a whole song about his loving kindness is better than life. That's the truth. You've ever bumped into his loving kindness, even if you're despairing of life, that's what gives you the hope to even go on. His loving kindness. Let's raise our hand to these. Think of a thing or a couple things. And raise your hand to this thing. And go ahead and let the Holy Spirit show you that when you were born of him, he is your father. He gave you those things. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, so good you are. And the Holy Spirit helps us see who you are. So we're not confused about you. Some of us have had very confused ideas about God. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're seeing you clearly. So that we know who you are. And we know what you are. But oh, Father God, that would not be complete unless we could also see that you went to a great work to get who you are into us.
that we actually carry on after and we reproduce after your kind. We are a new creature. I'm created in you. Hallelujah. Now I thank you for the truth along this line, but I thank you also for the help of the Holy Spirit along this line. He is our special teacher. He is our special counselor along this line. He is the one that's on the inside saying, Abba, Father, identifying us with the God in heaven. Not just our natural birth, but he's on the inside shouting, Abba, Father, connecting us with God the Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. Keep working to keep showing us who we are, greater and greater and greater. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we may see in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Let's just do something before we leave here. I'd like us just to pray a little bit in the Holy Ghost. Can you do that with me? Now, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, and what I mean by that is that you've had a wonderful experience with Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, well, your heart gets flooded with him, and it evidences in even another language where you can pray to God directly from your heart, not from out of your mind, but out of your heart. If you've not had that, but you would like to have that, then I would like, while everyone else is praying here, because we're going to just pray just for just a few minutes in the Holy Ghost. But it's a great, great help to speak from out of our heart where these truths are concerning ourselves. And I want you to pray for yourself right now. Is that okay? Usually when I'm in prayer conferences, I'm wanting us to pray for the nation, pray for the world, da-da-da-da-da. But right now, let's pray for ourselves about who we are. All right? But while everyone is praying, and if you have not experienced that, I'd like you to come, because I would like to pray with you, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the helper, the Holy Spirit. We need help to see. We're surrounded with who we are in the natural. We see it in the mirror. We hear it with our ears. We feel it with our skin. We taste it with our mouth. We smell it. All of our senses keep telling us who we are in the natural. Your word and the Holy Spirit tell us who we are in our heart. And so we stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, lift up your voice. Chosen, yeah, to broken be shale brass meter in the abradels. Zara Brangle of Ratti di Brangi di Vigil di Arana. Yera Bratolo or the Niang di Vigil di Gresciti di Abrara. Yera di Akratazulo of Baranga is similar, but it is different. Yele Brigi di Vigil of Branda di Bretos. Sato Bojek di Vigil di Catchamolona. Yere keredia predolo botolo go shara di dia nene. Yara karandia geredia fratala basso della lea crede stede. Zubran nene grene nene di cleda churu di are de gecho. Nere fratulo bojiki di vezza. E si gire vejo lo lo crene in giorre che zuro di it'll be even as you said. Yes, she gire vejo lo lo fratazlen nene adeno. Yere kere di esoto lo stunda na nata. Yere kara tu storra kazere di gledegere di adata. Zere vrara denande di gledegere. Let it go. Let it go. Yana kanda ne ni akando lo logere di agere di krasara. Zero broche di prakata. Zere, zere dere, zere dere. Zerere kere di adondo lo logore di estere. Yes, Lord. Yea, la karananzando lo locoro de gera di asara. Zoromonde de Galadanze, Zagaladenge, Zangaladengulogi de Gladeza, Zagadebeje, Shoro, yes, Lord. Yes, Agaraboj de Dijeto de Lobrananza, Yetrananda, Yetralando calls at a day state, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I heard these words in my heart for some that are here. Much examination has been given to who you are, but who you are by your natural environment and by your origin physically. Much examination and much attention has been given to you or by you about the things that are in the past that have seemed to define your present. But he would say to you tonight, it is time for you to look away from that. No more attention is to be given unto that. But oh, he would cause your eyes to look unto something else, and a magnifying glass even to be brought to those things that have to do with the heart. For that he has caused you and created you to be looks nothing like your past. Nothing like it. Oh, there will be those that see you and recognize you. But what defines you? What causes you to be recognized where your actions and responses are concerned are defined by him. And he is rewriting your future. Ha ha! Oh, it is being rewritten in your life, but it is already established in heaven. For he has already decided who you are. And it is in his perfect will. So look away. Look away from those things in the past. And as it were tonight, cut it. Cut it. For it has nothing to do with the road ahead of you. And as you begin to look into the light concerning these truths of yourself, not with the distraction of the things of the past, but giving full attention to what he does say, what the Father in heaven does reveal concerning you as his child, it will be as the sunlight upon a flower that is not yet budded. Oh, it will begin to open up. And there will be things in your heart that will begin to open and open and open and show more and more and more of your true colors. And it will be not just a revelation to those around you. It will be a revelation to you. For there are some that stand here that have even despised themselves. Despised their past. But as you look into him, you will be so delighted. So delighted. Not just with him, but with you. You will be so delighted with what he's created you to be. And the disappointment will go. And the sadness will go. And oh, any residue, any indentations from things stamped from the past will be totally erased. Semene Keje. Zamanegeja, but it was so hard. Yeah. But his work on the cross was so. Oh. So rejoice. Rejoice in him. But tonight is a night to rejoice in what he's done in you. Oh, look up, yes, and see his beauty. And look up and see his glory. But don't only look there. See yourself in him.
and you will see the glory upon your face too. You are not called to a life of shadow. You're called to a life of glory. Glory. Glory upon Him. But He has also called His children unto glory, as it is written. You are called to glory. And so He glorifies you that you may glorify Him. And so it will not just be in a word or in a song, I give Him glory. But it will be the light upon your life that gives Him glory. And it will not just be in a phrase or be in a song that attracts unto Him and praises Him. But it will be a life that expresses His glory that will bring glory. And so, oh, this is the greatest thing. And this is the most glorious thing. Yes, and there are some here that have been frustrated with yourself. Frustrated in knowing, yes, I know what it is to be. I know what it is supposed to be. But I am just not that, and I keep falling short. But all, rest in Him and know that as He has begun the work, don't look unto yourself to complete it. For He that began the work also completes it. For you did look unto Him to begin it. But if you'll look again to Him, He will continue the work. And as you at this stage of development are perfect in this stage, as you continue to look unto Him, you will continue to change, to change. There will be some similarities, as in a picture of a child. In the same way, when they grow up, there are some similarities from when they were a child to when they grow up. But you change. You change. So let Him do what only He can do in you. And oh, what a delight it'll be to not just see Him, but to see you in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, Father, we just lift our hands to You as our Father. I'd like You to do it this way, not so much in praise and worship, but as children lift their hands to their parents. Go ahead, claim Him. Hallelujah. We lift our hands to You, and we love You, and we know that You embrace us the same. And I thank You, Father God, for such a strong, strong, strong work. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I want you to say this. I'm who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. I tell you what, that do part, going to be very, very interesting. Very interesting. What you do in this church individually, very interesting. But what this church does collectively, this church has particular works to do. When we pray, I bump into some things. That as this church has grown and developed and come to some things in maturity, there's some things that it was not even assigned to do before. There's some work for this church to do. Oh, my. Some work for it to do. And everybody has a part. Not work for the pastor, it's work for the church. There's an inheritance for this church. Hallelujah. Let's just thank God for that. I'm telling you, there's great things. Oh, my, great, 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 great things. I claim it. Amen. Dear Pastor.